Awesome leaders, amen. I think you should give Karel, Maritza and Jaco and Johan a hand for what they're doing here. Let's just honor them. God is building amazing things through them. So just remember to keep honoring your leaders. Amen. They are truly laying down their lives for the kingdom of God. But it's wonderful to be with you guys this morning. I had fun earlier with the Afrikaans service. I'm really excited to minister in English. God, I said to this morning's service that God can do miracles. He can even use an English person to speak, to preach in Afrikaans in Swakopmund. So that's amazing, you know. We serve an awesome God. But there's actually someone else's birthday today who's very special. It's my third child, my son Nathan. He's 3 years old today, celebrating his birthday. So I think we can give him a hand. But more than that, we can give Jesus a hand for the fact that I just want to tell you a quick story. Is that when he was conceived, my wife was pregnant with him. He was about 4 weeks inside, five or six weeks inside his mommy. And we woke up the one morning. We had a wedding that afternoon. It was in December of 4 years ago, I guess. Yeah, 2013. And then we were at going to a wedding that afternoon. But that morning she woke up and she started bleeding. And she said, look, we're going to have to go see the gynae. Things aren't right. And so we went to the gynecologist. And he basically said, well, you've seen this before. It's the usual signs. The best would be just to go for a scrape, get it done. And, you know, emotionally, you can just recover quickly from a miscarriage. So we were like, okay. And like, she was very emotional and challenged and everything. She didn't know what to think. And I just felt in my spirit, we've got to call this baby back. And so we went back home. Two of her friends were there and three of us laid hands on her. And we called this baby back because I just thought, no, I'm not going to accept. And the doctor was a believer and he said, you can pray, you can do whatever you like, but I'm just giving you the natural news and this is what I've seen before. And so we prayed and went on holiday, went back the next day before we left for holiday to check if her blood count had improved, and it hadn't really, like it should have. And so then he said, well, look, you decide, but I'm going to be on holiday. We went on holiday, prayed, sent to our friends, please pray, and we'll come back in 2 weeks' time and check it out. And so we came back. Another gynae was on duty because he was on holiday, our gynae, and the lady just put the scan on, and there was a heartbeat. And Nathan is born 3 years old today. So we serve an awesome God. Amen. I just want to encourage you with that is God can do the impossible. Amen. We serve an amazing God. And so today we're celebrating life in Nathan. And whenever I look at him, I know he's got a massive calling on his life because God basically gave him a second chance and raised him from the dead. So Jesus is alive today. Amen. And today he wants to do awesome things. Who's ready for the Lord to change your life today, to change your perceptions? Amen. Who likes athletics? Who loves to watch athletics? Anyone watch the recent world championships? Why weren't you guys watching? Okay. But I love athletics. I'm a runner myself. But you know, when I was watching the world champs, watching Wade van Niekerk and Caster Semenya and all the Mo Farah and all the Ethiopians and the Kenyans running these races, I tell you, I looked at them and I don't know if you see those slow motion shots, but you see every muscle in these bodies are like geared for this competition. There's like not one wasted muscle. Every muscle, every sinew, everything has been trained for the race or the event that they're taking part in. Isn't that so? And when I was watching that, I was realizing in the kingdom of God, it's the same with us as believers. We need to be trained and geared and fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. The battle is real, guys. The battle is real out there. And I believe that as believers, we should be fit for the kingdom of God. And so today I want to speak to us specifically about the shape that we're in for this battle. Because many times we are carrying excess fat and excess weight in the spirit in the form of whether it's a distraction, whether it's laziness, whether it's worry or fear. We're carrying many excess things and almost like fat in our lives. And unlike those athletes that there's nothing excess, everything is geared to do this race. And so I believe God wants to make us spiritually fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. And today I'm going to speak specifically about the area of our finances. You guys are in a series called Money Matters. You know, money does matter. That's what's called the Money Matters series, like Money Matters, okay? And so I believe in the area of our finances, I want us to consider where we are right now. So I want you to do a little exercise right now. I want you to picture your budget, okay, whether it's an Excel spreadsheet or some kind of a paper, I don't know what it is, but I want you to picture your current budget. Now, some of you are going to really have to do very big imagination because you don't have a budget, so you're going to have to think about it. Okay, hopefully it's not the case. Okay, but if you do have a budget, I want you to see that budget and to ask yourself a question this morning. Does that budget that you currently have reflect spiritual fitness for the kingdom of God? And then I want you to think of your actuals, you know, because it's all very well to have a budget, and the actual and the budget are like far from each other, okay? And I want you to think of your actual spending at the moment. Does it reflect a fitness for the kingdom of God or not? Because I believe sometimes there's a lot of excess fat or weight when it comes to our finances. And our financial scenario should reflect kingdom values, kingdom priorities, and kingdom effectiveness. Amen. I heard an amazing saying once. It goes like this: what you are hungry for will fill you. What you are hungry for will satisfy you. And it's true. If we're hungry for lots of meat, you know, meat is going to fill us. In Namibia, it's like everyone's hungry for meat, you know. Like in the Free State, same thing, okay. We won in that, you know. We like our braai vleis. But if you're hungry for success, then success is what is going to fill you. If you're hungry for lots of riches, then lots of riches is going to fill you. Not little riches. Lots of riches will fill you. So just a little bit is not going to satisfy. Because you're hungry for lots. If you're hungry for a lot of gadgets and things in your life, then a lot of gadgets are going to fill you. If you're hungry to watch TV the whole time, then that's what's going to fill you. If you're hungry to lust and to watch porn, then that is what is going to fill you. If you're hungry to look good physically from the outside, then that is what is going to fill you. So I don't know what you're hungry for this morning, but if you're hungry for the Lord, the Lord will fill you. But if you're hungry for anything else, something else will fill you. It depends on what you really desire. And this morning, I know, is there anyone here that doesn't have any needs here this morning? I mean, we all have needs, okay? Needs are good. Needs are there because we just have needs. There's nothing wrong with it. And an American psychologist called Abraham Maslow came up with a pyramid, and I've put it up there on the screen. And he starts with the bottom line, or the bottom part of the pyramid is the foundation. It's the most important. Without those needs, you're going to die, okay? They're called the basic needs. So the bottom one talks about physiological needs such as food, water, warmth, and rest. Without that, you might survive for a few days, but you're not going to go too long, okay? So those are needs we have. Then above that, you got your safety needs, like just basic security and safety from the elements and from animals in some cases, if you're living close to where wild animals are. But you need safety. These days we need safety from people, it seems like, okay? And then above that, you got your third level, which is the belonging or love needs, where you really need friendship. You need to feel like there's intimate relationships in your life. It's a basic need. It's a real need that each of us have. And then further on, you got your esteem, your need for esteem or feeling of accomplishment, which most of us, all of us have. And then lastly, Maslow talks about the self-actualization need, the need to really achieve our full potential. So these are needs that all of us as people have, and so needs are very important. And each one of us is sitting here with various needs as we speak this morning. But I want us to think a little bit about our needs and say, what is the difference between a need and a want? And to distinguish this morning between what do you really need, looking at that table, and then what are many things in your life that are actually more desires and wants rather than basic needs? You see, a need is defined as something that you have to have, whereas a want is defined as something that you would like to have. And this morning, I don't want to say that, you know, we must only focus on our needs. I think God wants to bless us. I mean, God wants to meet our desires, but I want us to think clearly about the needs and the wants in our lives. And many times, there's so many things in the world today where it's just saying, you want me, you want me, you want me, or rather, you need me. You know, just walking through the airport there in Johannesburg as I was flying here now I've just got this basic need to go to the toilet, you know, but in between this need to find a toilet, there are so many wants there's stuff of the world crying out saying you don't only want me, you need me. There's like just shops and you go to a mall and everything is shouting, come, you want me, and you know what, you actually need me. All this bright stuff and all this amazing stuff that's calling out to you and saying, you know what, you need this. You really need this. And here I am walking through the airport and all I need is to go to the toilet and to have a nice cup of coffee. And I've just got to look away many times from all the other distractions. Isn't that so? In the world today, there's so much. There's so many things we could have. In fact, they would be nice and they might even be fulfilling too. But are they really necessary? And doesn't it many times cause us to be distracted from what's really important in life? And so I believe it's time for us to reevaluate our fitness in terms of our finances. Are we fit? And does our budget and does our actual spending reflect the fitness for the kingdom of God, where everything is working together for one purpose? Read with me in Ecclesiastes 4, verses 6. I've got two translations up there. One from the Amplified and one from the NIV. The Amplified says, better is a handful with quietness than both hands full with painful effort and a vain striving after the wind and feeding on it. The NIV says, better is one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with sorrow or grief or toil and a chasing after the wind. I was listening to a sermon series by a guy called Craig Groeschel from Life Church in America, and he's got this four-part sermon series called Making Change. And the first one he says is less is more. And he uses the scripture and he says less is more. Secondly, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. And he uses the scripture in Ecclesiastes 4 and he says that we need to take stock of our lives and realize, do we need everything that we've got? Do we really need it? You know, ladies, sometimes those pairs of shoes, okay, there's just too many, okay? Do you really need all of them, okay? And then we want more, and he says rather than just hoarding a lot of shoes or whatever it is, just as soon as you get something new, just give it away. Give the other one away. Give another one away. But our clothes cupboards are so full of stuff, and our garages, like he talks about, sometimes your garage, now the Americans, I guess, a bit worse than us sometimes with that. And so your garage is so full of stuff, you can't even park your car in your garage because there's just so much excess stuff. And I believe we need to take stock of our lives and take stock of our finances and say, do we really need all this stuff? Because less is more, amen. And stress is bad, and giving is good, and tomorrow matters. So there's planning involved and all of that stuff. I'm not going to go into that now. But I believe we need to cut back on the excess, become effective in our daily lives for the kingdom of God. And you know what? The good news is when we do this, it's all part of worship. It's part of being good stewards. It's part of managing that which God has entrusted to us and becoming a worshiper, not just by singing songs. And by the way, you guys have got an awesome band, okay? I know Mark from, met him a couple of years ago there in Stellenbosch as well. And God is doing awesome things in terms of worship, musical worship, and taking our prophetic worship and our music to a next level where we're really getting close to the Lord. But that's not the only form of worship. Worship is when we manage our lives according to God's will. That is worship. And sometimes we want to be so spiritual. We want to like just out there in the spirit and connect with God that, you know, they say sometimes we're so in the heavens that we're of no earthly use, you know. And so this morning is a very practical message about how can we be more effective in the kingdom of God, especially in terms of our finances. And I don't want to say that is worship. God is very pleased when we start to cut back in the basic things that we need in terms of, do we really need all the stuff that we many times want? So how do we gain perspective on what we really need? You're saying to me, Alistair, okay, I hear what you're saying. I agree with you, you know, but help me. How do we do this? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 10. It's on the, on the PowerPoint, you can thank me afterwards, signatures later, all of that, you know, but only joking. Just turn to someone next to you and say, God is speaking to me. First Timothy chapter 6. Isn't the word amazing? The word of God is powerful. Amen. It's living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts between bone and marrow, soul and spirit. I love the word of God. Who loves the word of God? Yeah. If you start to love Jesus, you need to love his word. Amen. We need to read his word and understand his word and not just get, you know, many times we can become so sort of comfortable and almost familiar with the word of God and we don't allow it to change us. Amen. So this morning, I trust that this scripture will change all of our lives because I need to be changed just as much as all of us do. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Tell someone next to you, great gain. Who wants great gain in your life? Anyone? I want it. The Bible says we can have it. You can have great gain if you want to. It doesn't mean having lots of money. It says godliness with contentment is great gain. And Paul is writing and he's saying there's all sorts of confusion in the church and people not honoring their masters and all of that stuff. And he's talking about godliness in the few scriptures leading up to this. And he says, godliness is very good. But you know what? Godliness with contentment is awesome. That's abundant life. Didn't Jesus promise abundant life? So godliness with contentment is abundant life. So I don't know about you, but I want this. So he goes on and he says, and the first thing I want to focus on this morning is how do we gain perspective on what we really need? Number one, he says in verse 7, he says, for. So this is how you get godliness with great gain. I mean, godliness with contentment. This is how you get great gain. You have godliness with contentment. Number one, we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Number one, in order for you to gain perspective on what you really need, you need to know material things are temporary. I'm going to say that again. Material things are temporary. So hold the clothes that you're wearing, the piece of jacket or top or something that you're wearing, and look at this thing and say, you are temporary. Take your cell phone and say, you are temporary. Okay? Take that laptop and say, computer, you're temporary. See, everything that we have in this world, everything apart, you know what's not temporary? Tell the person next to you, you're not temporary. You see, all of us, yeah, we're gonna be eternal. We're not gonna die. We're gonna live forever. It just depends where you're gonna live. Amen. Whoever is born is not gonna, they're gonna die physically, but they're not gonna die forever. And some people say, life, yeah, I'm just going to die and then I'll just go to nothing. No, 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 no. Like Reinhard Bonnke says, it's heaven or hell, life or death. It depends upon you. Huh? We're the Germans here. There's no middle ground. It's life or death. And you're either going to be, you're going to be dying eternally or you're going to live eternally, but you're not going to, there's not going to be a, you won't just go to nothing. So the person sitting next to you and the people at your workplace, the people that you know and that you connect with, the people of this earth are all eternal beings. It just depends where you're going to spend eternity. And so the only thing we can take with us to heaven is people. Come on, guys. The only thing we're going to take to heaven is, we can't take this stuff. We can't take our clothes. We can't take physical stuff, books, anything. The word of God is eternal. The word of God will go with us. But no physical thing is going to go with us. So guess what? Why do we get so sentimental about physical stuff? Why do we get so sentimental about our cars, about our houses, about anything? Everything belongs to God. Am I speaking to some people here this morning? This is challenging me, guys. It's challenging me because we think so physically and naturally, and we don't see eternity. I come from a farm in the Eastern Cape, like Carl mentioned, and my dad is an amazing man. I really have got so much respect for him. He doesn't know Jesus yet fully like he should, I'm praying for him, but there's certain principles he's got right in his life. And he's given over the farm to my brother's now, thinks he's the boss, but Jesus is the boss. Now my brother's running the farm. My brother also understands this. Because my dad said to me once, he just says he realizes that this farm that we have is not his. It belongs to God, and he's just a steward. He's just a manager, and he's supposed to farm this farm for the next generation. And you know what? Those words have come true because my brother took over the farm with no debt. And where do you hear of that today? My dad had lots of debt. My grandfather was in parliament, and he had a lot of other stuff that he was doing, and he didn't really focus fully on just paying off the debt. But my dad owed a lot of money to the land bank when he took over the farm from my grandfather, and he handed the farm over to my brother with no debt. How's that for starting your farming career? And so guess what? My brother will be held accountable. What did you do with that farm with no debt? My dad will be held accountable. What did you do with that farm with lots of debt? And my dad has passed the test, I believe, because he gave over the farm with no debt. But you know what he understood? He didn't understand about it. It wasn't about how much money he owed or didn't owe. It was about the fact that this farm does not belong to him. And so when you understand everything in our life is God's and you must just manage it for the next generation, you know what? You'll start thinking differently about how you spend your money, how you make decisions financially. Why? Because you've got an eternal focus. Because nothing we have can be taken with us. Nothing. So why do we get so sentimental about our stuff? Amen. Material things are temporary. We're going to take nothing with us into heaven except people. So start praying for someone. Tell someone next to you, start praying for my neighbor. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for someone who doesn't know Jesus, because if they're not going with you, they're going somewhere else, and it's not nice to go to hell. Amen. So the first thing is material things are temporary. Second thing is verse 8. It gives us an amazing clue as to how to understand what we need. It says, what must we be content with? Read it up there. What must we be content with? Two things. Food and clothing. So get rid of all your cars, all your houses. Only joking. He's not saying all you need is food and clothing. He's just saying basic needs. And in those days, food and clothing was important. It talks about warmth, and you know, we need to clothe ourselves. Okay, it's not going to be good for the world if we don't have clothes on. It's not going to be good for the Lord, for the Lord's name. So we need clothes to cover us and to protect us. We need food that we can actually survive and live. So do you need your car? Is that a basic need or not? Now we can start debating. Eh? Does the Bible talk about cars? Well, there weren't cars in the Bible times. But he says, be content with basic needs. Be content with stuff that you really need, and that not only that you want, and that you want to have a nice, great life and build your little empire. Be content with basic needs. Contentment is defined as the following. Contentment is the art of wanting what you have. Have you ever heard that before? Contentment is the art of wanting what you already have. So are you content with what you have, just like the offering message? Do you know what you have? That's why I said, think about your budget. Think about what you're spending. Think about what you already have. And let's be thankful for that. Amen. So your car probably is a basic need. Why? Because you've been called to work for a company or whatever, and you have to drive your kids around. And so we need cars. It's a bit difficult in the day and age we live in not to have a car, unless you want to be really fit and run everywhere you go and walk, and that'll be good for physical fitness. But do you really need a fast car? You know, the speed limit, yeah, is like 60, isn't it? Like, only joking. It's probably 120. Maybe in Namibia it's like 150. Some people drive like that. But why do you need the fastest car? Why do you need a Ferrari that goes 300 k's an hour when the speed limit doesn't allow it? So you know what? Just a fast donkey cart would be okay. Amen. or like a horse, you know, a racing horse. That would be okay for transport. A bit cheaper. Don't know about the maintenance with horses these days. They eat a lot. So. but you see, it depends on what car you need. So why have a most expensive car? Just have a car that meets your needs. Amen. Just have a house that meets your needs. Yes, you need a house, but you know, you don't need a six-bedroom mansion necessarily, unless you really like hospitality, everyone come stay over. But be content with what you have. And the good news this morning is maybe even your basic needs here aren't quite met. Maybe you're struggling with food and clothing because there might be people like that. And I want to say this morning, there's good news. There's good news if you don't have your basic needs. There's good news, but I'm going to get to that just now. But look at the diagram. Look at Maslow's diagram and see, okay, my basic needs, safety, home, car, I've got food. Well, do I really need more? Because why? Why? If we're not content, something is going to happen if we're not content. Something scary happens. Listen to verse 9. Verse 9 says, but those who desire to be rich. Those who desire to be rich. Turn to someone next to you and say, do you desire to be rich? He's talking to people that desire to be rich. And you know what? All of us have a sinful desire to be rich. Not one of us, whether we're poor or rich already, it doesn't matter. All of us have a sinful nature and a desire to be rich. And he says, those who desire to be rich, so he's talking to mankind, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Serious words. So those who desire to be rich, first of all, it just says it's going to lead to death. That's like, in short, to summarize that passage in one sentence. The desire to be rich leads to death. Spiritual death. And eventually, physical death. Could be. But you see, it comes from a temptation. The desire to be rich, first of all, leads to a temptation and a trap, which is set there by who? Who loves to set traps for us? Satan himself. Sets that trap because he knows the desire in all of mankind, because he started that desire. The desire to rebel against God and to do his own thing, and the desire to be rich and to love this world. It's a trap, and guess what? It leads to foolish lusts, which we as people cannot handle. We as people cannot handle these foolish lusts. We're not supposed to even open that door, so don't go there. Don't start to desire to be rich, because it leads to one thing after the other, and eventually, death. I was working at Volkswagen in Port Elizabeth for a while, and I got involved in a church there, and we were in a small group one night, and this one guy, he started to complain about the church asking for money. And he was like, this thing about tithing and all these, every Sunday we get asked for our money, this is just not, he doesn't agree with all of this and stuff. I was like, I could sense something wasn't right in his life. I could sense there's a bit of anger. And he had moved from church to church, and he wasn't really, seemed like happy now in this church again. I'm thinking, this guy better sort this out, because he's going to be happy in no church. But he started to complain, and so I left, and I found out a year or so later that this guy, and he had a beautiful wife, they had a nice home, but I could see he liked the fast bike. You know, he rode this very fast motorbike. In fact, he used to sometimes drive away from the cops even without a number plate on and all of that. And see, he had like this thing through PE where he got away from the cops, and he like into his garage, closed the door, and like the cops didn't find him, but they tried to catch him. So there were a few things wrong in his life, but we thought, yes, this is an amazing couple, so awesome, beautiful wife and everything. And a year later, I heard that this guy was basically getting divorced. And the reason was that his wife wanted kids and he didn't want kids. That's the reason they got divorced. I'm thinking, sure. But what is so sad for me is I believe that there was something in his life, there was a selfishness in his life, a desire to be rich, which possibly led to temptation, to lusts, to stuff that he shouldn't have gone after, because that door was opened. And a life is destroyed, a marriage is destroyed. Why? Because this desire to be rich leads to death. And that's why, friends, it's so important for us to find out what are our needs. Amen. And what are our wants? And ultimately, to be content. Because verse 10 finishes off and says the following, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not, money is not the problem. It's the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. All kinds of evil. Say all kinds of evil. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Say many sorrows. See, I can see in this passage, I see great gain. I see contentment and godliness and great gain. And then I see on the other side, many sorrows and death. You see, it's not a question. Money is not the problem. We mustn't focus on money. We must focus on the love. I love the theme of the conference this year. Where is the love? Where is the love in our hearts? And who do we really love? What do we really love? It's not a question of money. Money is not the problem, but there's a battle in our hearts. There's a battle for the love in our hearts. Because guess what? We're always going to love. We are made to love. You know that? People, we've got a capacity to love in our hearts. God has poured out that love in our hearts as people. Before we even know God, there's a capacity to love. You know what? We're either going to love God, or we're going to love other stuff. We can't I'm just neutral. We've got an incredible capacity to love because we're made in the image of God. And God just wants to redeem that love for his sake. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, if you've got your Bibles. But once again, you can thank me. It's on the PowerPoint. Okay. Matthew chapter 6. From verse 24. And here again, it's just amazing how the Word of God confirms itself. The Word of God just explains itself. It's just amazing when we can just see how there's a trail through the Word of God. And yeah, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking about so many things of the kingdom of God. And he says, yeah, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And I'm not saying this morning because I know I'm also just a person. It's not a thing of it's fully or, you know, we fully love God and we fully hate money, or it doesn't work like that. We're in a process of sanctification, and when we say we fully love God, there will still be the temptation, and we see it just because the eyes are just so caught up, and this world is saying to us, money, 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 the more you have, the more you can have, and the more you'll be fulfilled. And so it's not a thing of, I love God, and so now, we still live in this world. We have temptations. We have to overcome. But it is about who are we really serving. And if we're serving God, we cannot. You've got to have your allegiance somewhere. And Mammon here talks about material riches. Let's read the rest of the passage. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Say all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, say all of these things, will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Isn't that amazing? There again, Jesus talks about what are the two things that Paul wrote to Timothy, food and clothing, and he says, don't worry about food and clothing. Don't worry about your basic needs. And so maybe you're here this morning and your basic needs are you're struggling with your basic needs. I want to say to you, Jesus said, I'm going to look after you. If you're my child, and you know what? I love you, which I do. I'm going to look after you. I'm going to make sure. I'm not going to meet your wants. You know, I'll bless you, but you know what? I'm really committed to meeting your basic needs. Wants is a different story, but your basic needs, the food and the clothing and just the basic things of life, I'm gonna bless you. I really want to meet your needs. Sometimes it's going to be supernatural. Sometimes it could be through someone else. But I'm going to meet your needs. But you see, we're either serving God or we're serving the God of this world. And I want to say, I get out of this passage a whole lot of about worry. Worry is a terrible thing. And I believe that if we understand what our needs are, if we say, God, I'm looking at my budget. I'm going to cut everything that is unnecessary. And Lord, I trust you for my basic needs. But Lord, I know you're going to provide for me. And I want to focus on one thing. It's a priority. It's a thing of priority. I want to seek first your kingdom. And so, Lord, for seeking your kingdom, that means I've been called to this company, I've been called to this job, I've been called to be a housewife, I've been called to be a scholar or a student. So for now, Lord, thank you for all my needs, my car and my school fees and all of that stuff. I trust you for that, Lord, but I'm focusing on your kingdom. That's what I want to be leaning in. I want to be like Wade van Niekerk, every muscle working towards a goal to run a 400 meters. I'm going to be focused on everything in my life to seek your kingdom. Because, Lord, worry is not of you. And you know where worry comes from most of the time? I believe most of the time worry comes from us having so much stuff. And you know what? The more you have, the more you have to worry about. Amen. The more you have, the more you have to worry about. I mean, just think of these, you know, an expensive car, it's just going to cost you more. There's more service. There's more maintenance. There's just everything is expensive. When something breaks, it's hugely expensive. Same with a house. You have this level and the standard of a physical house, and I tell you, you're going to replace something, it's just expensive. So we live in this thing of everything just becomes more expensive the more we have. You've got insurance. You know, the more expensive stuff you've got, you have to have more insurance. And it just adds and adds and adds. At the end, we're just earning a normal salary trying to survive in this expensive world. And you know what? It causes worry. And God says, you know what? I want to provide for your food and clothing. I want you to focus on the kingdom. And I'll provide your basic needs, but cut all the mess. Amen. Cut all the stuff. And I'm not saying God doesn't. Some of us are blessed. You know, some of us will be rich. Why? Because God wants to channel kingdom money into the, or worldly money into the kingdom. He wants to make you rich. He wants to redeem the riches of this world. And so you're going to make lots of money as long as you don't pursue the desire to be rich, as long as you don't try to be rich. Amen. So some people will have lots of money. Some people are blessed because God has given them a gift to make money, a business person. But as long as you're saying, God, this business is the kingdom. I'm pursuing your kingdom with my business. I'm pursuing these finances are for your kingdom, God. And so some people are being called to make money so that the poor people can actually survive. And that people can start coming into the kingdom and learn stewardship principles, learn biblical principles of managing money. So I'm not against like living a nice life. God really wants us to be blessed, but we have to consider, are our desires and our wants keeping us from the kingdom of God? Are they distracting? And is it excess weight and excess fat and excess stuff that we're carrying with us? And guess what? It causes us to have burdens, to have fears, to have worries, to have stresses month in and month out. Seek first the kingdom of God. Cut all the unnecessary stuff and watch how stress goes out the window. How worry goes out the window. Our fear goes out the window. And our greed goes out the window. Because guess what? The more we have, the more we just want. Because that is the thing that's going to fill us. If you're hungry for something, it's going to fill you. It's like, you know, walking in the shops these days, I'm like, just when I see the malls, I'm like, yeah, you know, this just, I want to get out of here. And you know, you got to buy your kids presents because like, you know, today is Nathan's birthday. Next weekend is my little daughter's birthday. And then next month is my other son's birthday. So for the Kingwell family, August and September is like expensive, you know. If you think of it that way and you think, I got to buy my kids the most expensive stuff, then I think, no, you know, I don't want to buy them the most expensive stuff. Because kids these days play with like a stick and a ball, you know, that's like fine. You don't need the most expensive toys. But if you buy expensive toy after expensive toy, guess what they're going to want? Expensive toys. In fact, more and more and more expensive toys. Because you're creating them that desire to have the most expensive stuff. And there is a lot of stuff out there. There is cool stuff. Because Johnny next door has got this expensive toy. But do we really need it? And do our children really need to have the biggest and the best? Yaku's going to preach next week on you know, God's promises for our finances. And he has a little card which says, I trust God for my financial breakthrough. And so take that and pray over it and think about it. But I don't want you to say, God, just, you know, give me a breakthrough in, you know, in the all the stuff I need and I want. Lord, maybe my breakthrough must be like, God, I must look at my budget. And Lord, I must seriously cut a lot of things because, God, then I'm going to have excess. Then I'm going to say, God, I'm not trusting you for what I need. Lord, I'm trusting you. How much must I give to people who need it? Amen. So let's have our priorities right when we pray to God for a financial breakthrough. Because sometimes that breakthrough is just because of all our desires and all that we want. But is it what we really need? But you see, I want to get to the bottom line of this morning's sermon. Our greatest need is to know Jesus Christ intimately. That is our greatest need, friends. That our greatest need is to know him and to become like him. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to start to become loving. You're going to start to become giving. You're going to start to become serving. You're going to become unselfish. Isn't that freeing? So this morning, I want to say, as the band comes forward this morning, and we're going to pray this morning, because maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus this morning. Maybe you don't have an intimate relationship with him. Because it doesn't help then us, we sort out our budgets and we become good stewards and all of that, because that's good. But if it comes out of a place of not knowing Jesus as our first love, then we're just going to last a while and we're going to go back. Because all of us have a capacity to love. All of us have an ability to love something. And if we don't put our love and pour out our love, first of all, for Jesus and give him our hearts and say, Lord, deliver me from this stuff and the things of the world and all my wants and my desires for riches, Lord, then I'm going to naturally love that stuff. So I want us all to stand this morning as we just consider where our hearts are at this morning in terms of our real need and our real material needs. I want you to close your eyes right now and I want to say, Jesus loves you so much. God loves you so much. He's given us his word, and I know this is challenging for many of us this morning. This is very convicting for me because I just realized there's so much stuff I have that I can really give away. I can make myself streamlined for the kingdom of God. So Lord, I want to thank you that we can choose this morning to love you more than anything else, Lord. Lord, the battle is on for our hearts, Lord. The battle is on for whether we love you or whether we love the mammon and the material riches and the things of this world, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you've won this battle already, Lord. We thank you that you're calling us to love you more than anything else. While all our eyes are closed this morning, I just want to ask, first of all, the most important question I want to ask you this morning, is there someone that would like to recommit your life to Jesus Christ this morning? Maybe you know him and you've walked away from him. He's not your first love anymore. You realize you love this world so much. You love the stuff and you've grown even hard towards people because there's a desire that you need to be changed of and saved of. And this morning, Jesus wants to save you maybe again and again and again. It's no shame in that. Jesus loves you so much. So maybe this morning you just want to recommit your life to Jesus as your first love this morning, because that's your greatest need. Your greatest need is to be intimate with Him, to know Him. Is there anyone like that? Just raise your hand if you feel the Lord is speaking to you specifically this morning about that, about your relationship with Him. Before we pray for other people, yeah, just be honest this morning. Because you're the most important person we'd love to pray with this morning. Then I want to ask, if you're struggling financially here this morning, you really feel like you're in a dead end. You're just struggling to make ends meet. And you realize you need to make a change in your life, but you need to even trust God supernaturally this morning. You don't know where your next paycheck or your next provision is going to come from. You're really struggling financially. Then the Lord has got compassion on you and He wants to make a change in your life. So if that's you this morning, just raise your hand. I would love to pray with you. And I'd love to ask God to provide for you in ways that you can never imagine. Because He loves you and He knows your every need. And He's going to provide food and clothing. He's going to provide basic needs for you. There's some hands going up. Thanks so much. Just raise your hand nice and high this morning. And Lord, I want to thank You for every need in this place, Lord. I want to thank You for honest hearts, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for basic needs to be met in this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, Your promise is that food and clothing, Lord, You will provide, God. You will not let people die, Lord, a slow and painful death. And You will not allow them to go on in stress and in worry, God. And I thank You that they can truly choose to continue to seek first Your kingdom, Lord. You will provide everything in Jesus' name. You guys that have raised your hands, I want you to be accountable to someone in this next while. I want you to trust God and pray a prayer of faith. And if you need something, I want you to speak to someone that you know. If you don't know anyone, please come to myself or Carl or anyone afterwards. But we'd love to walk a path with you. But yeah, God will provide for you through this family. Amen. And He most of the time will provide teaching and training, just like this morning. He'll provide inspiration from His Word. And He will provide for you. So don't stress. But for some of you, I really want to say you need to look at your budget. Need to say, honestly, do I need everything that I'm spending my money on? Do I really need it? Because God wants to deliver you of this desire to be rich. Desire to spend money on unnecessary stuff. And then I believe this morning there's some people here, you're really called to be like Abraham. You're called to be someone who's going to just make money for the kingdom. You're going to be rich. And you're already in a place where you're actually quite rich and you're quite well off. And God wants to even deliver you from the temptation to start to really love money and love the stuff that you have, to really give it away, to channel it for your kingdom. There's Abrahams, there's kings in this house, kings that have been called to make money for the kingdom of God, to really bless the needs. So if that's you this morning, I just want to pray for you. And I want to pray protection over your heart, that you will not grow into the or fall into the temptation of loving the blessing more than the blesser. Amen. So if that's you this morning, if you've been called to be a business person or someone to channel funds into the kingdom of God, I want to pray a special blessing over you and a protection over your heart. If that's you this morning, just be honest, raise your hand. Or maybe you're standing in faith for that. Maybe it's not happening yet, but you know that is the calling on your life. Then I want to say, don't pursue riches. Don't pursue that desire to be rich. Just pursue God and He will channel massive blessing through your life. Thank you, Lord, for the hands here, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these people. Lord, you protect their hearts against the love of money, God. Especially where they see so much and, Lord, they're tempted to, Lord, just make decisions that are based on lust, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, rather than your purposes and your wisdom, Lord. And so I thank you for protection and I thank you that you will bless them, God, as they become content also in what they already have, Lord. In Jesus' name.